So in regards to ministry, I'd like to speak to you a few moments this morning. I invite you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, one of many texts to which we could turn, but this one says a lot about ministry. As you're turning there, I want to tell you about something that occurred back in 1876. There was a centennial celebration in Philadelphia. Featured at this celebration was the double Corliss engine that powered all the exhibits in Machinery Hall. It was a steam engine, very large steam engine. In fact, it stood on a platform 56 feet across. It had two cylinders that spun a flywheel some 30 feet in diameter. It weighed 56 tons and produced 1,400 horsepower. And this was a huge engine that was on display at our nation's centennial 100-year celebration. But I read that before that day that this engine was roared to life and powered all the other exhibits in Machinery Hall, I read that it was tested. And on the day that it was tested, they gave the signal to the engineer to start the engine. And when he gave the signal, nothing happened. The engine wasn't running. Well, they had several looking over the engine and looked to find what was the cause of it not being able to come to life. And they couldn't find anything. So they called its maker, Dr. George F. Corliss, to come in to examine it. He looked it over initially, could find nothing wrong, and said, try it again, and nothing happened. But then as he heard something, he heard the clinking sound of a little piece of steel and found that it was out of place, put it back in place, gave the signal, and the engine roared to life. And every wheel in the exposition building felt its power. I want you to think about that Corliss engine in consideration of something that's even greater than that tremendous engine. It's not an engine. It's not a piece of machinery. It's not an organization. Rather, it's an organism. I'm speaking of the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, the analogy of the human body is compared to the church being the body of Christ. Romans 12, verse 5, for example, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The body of Christ is greater than any institution. It's greater than any organization that may have existed or will exist. But there's something we can learn about that story about the Corliss engine and that one piece out of place to realize our place within the body of Christ. Each of us has a place. Each of us needs to fill a function. Well, Romans chapter 12, I want us to notice a few verses that teach us more about how each member has an important and unique function. Some things that are essential for spiritual ministry and growth in the body of Christ, the church. Notice number one, one essential is personal commitment on the part of each of us. Personal commitment. Look with me to verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you, not command, but Paul is urging here, in view of God's mercy, in view of the blessings that you have because of Christ, present your bodies a living sacrifice. That word present is a technical term for offering a sacrifice. And it means present once and for all. And it indicates commitment on our part that we commit our lives to serving God, each of us personally. We present our bodies a living sacrifice. Before one becomes a Christian, he or she uses his body for sinful pleasures and purposes. But Paul is saying that now that you are a Christian, now that you belong to Christ, you're to use your body as an instrument of righteousness, as a living sacrifice before God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 talks about how we belong to Christ. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's, which belong to God. Paul had this attitude. Listen to Philippians 1, 20 and 21. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. What was important to Paul? That Christ be magnified. If I live, may Christ be magnified. If it means that I die, may Christ be magnified, was Paul's attitude. You can see his personal commitment to that cause. That's a commitment that we must have as we serve our Lord, that we're going to present our bodies, magnify Christ in our bodies, in the things that we do. Romans 6:13, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So again, as Paul says, present your bodies as living sacrifices, as opposed to those dead sacrifices of the Old Testament. Living sacrifices. This is your reasonable service. The first essential ingredient for spiritual ministry and growth in the body is personal commitment. That means each of us personally committed to serving God by serving others. It means that as we go out into the world, as we leave this building, that we're personally committed to serving Christ. That we let our light so shine before men that others may see our good works, but glorify our Father who is in heaven. That we seek to be a good neighbor. That we seek to be a good friend to others around us. That we seek to do our business in an ethical, Christ-like way. That we let our light shine and refuse to do our best. We do our best to remove sin from our lives to hinder that light from shining. It means being a Christian wherever we are and personally committed to that. But yet, secondly, I want us to see in this passage, yes, there's that personal commitment on the part of each of us to present our bodies a living sacrifice. But there's also another relationship, and this gets into the body of Christ, where each of us personally committed is also committed to faithful cooperation within the body of Christ. And here's where the imagery is used, the relationship to each other in terms of the members of a body, the body of Christ. And we see from Paul's teaching here that we belong to each other, we minister to each other, and we need each other. I want us to look at verses 4 and following and highlight about 5 different points about ministry and how we're to faithfully cooperate in our ministry within the body of Christ. Point number 1, each individual has a gift. Each and every member of the body of Christ has a gift. You have a talent, you have an ability, you have something to offer that's needed. Just like that little piece of steel that was out of place to prevent that coreless engine from doing its work. Each member of the body of Christ has a unique function, has a gift that must be used. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them, Paul says, Romans 12, verse 4. Our gift does not depend on our age, our occupation, our education, our income. It depends upon what God has given us. Each of us has a gift. Secondly, each individual has a unique gift. For all members do not have the same function, verse 4. It's so true within the body of Christ. Each of us has different gifts, and they're unique, but they all must be used in order for the body to function effectively. You know, I wish I was a better handyman than I am. Seems like when something goes wrong, first call I make is to my dad. You know, he's the one growing up where we'd work on a vehicle. Actually, he'd work on it. I'd just hand him the tool that he wanted. And there's others of you that I call with certain problems. I'm thankful for Chris Presley that when I have a computer problem, Peggy, aren't you glad too? We call Chris. And Chris, calm, cool, collected, works with it and corrects it. Each of us has our unique gifts. But we all must use them collectively within the body of Christ. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In fact, the body is not one member but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, each one of them in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? I'm thankful for the diversity of gifts that we have within the body of Christ. That we all have different talents and abilities to supplement where others of us are lacking. And so that more can be accomplished effectively. Number three, every gift is important. Every gift is important. You may think to yourself, I don't have much to offer. My gift, my talent is so minimal. It's not important. Wrong. Every gift is important. Every function. Indeed, there are many members, 1 Corinthians 12, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Think about, what if you didn't have your thumb? Try to shake somebody's hand. You go on through. Try to hold something. You realize just how important that thumb is. We may be thumbs, but we have a great gift, a unique gift, an important gift. Number four, all gifts must be used. All gifts must be used. I love this portion of Scripture in verse 6 and following. Seven gifts are listed here. And I believe contextually, there were in the first century miraculous spiritual gifts for a period of time as the Word of God was being revealed. But I believe these to be non-miraculous. These exist today. These gifts may indicate what your gift is. Let's highlight these. If prophecy, now we usually think of that prophecy as one of those miraculous spiritual gifts, but there's also an element of that prophecy that has to do with foretelling. By extension, this gift could refer to preachers and teachers of God's Word. If your gift is preaching or teaching, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Let us teach in proportion to our faith. Some of you have the gift of teaching. Use it to the glory of God. Second gift that's listed here, if ministry or if serving, and that would refer to any kind of service, let us use it in our ministry. Some of you have that gift of serving. Whenever there's a need, you're quick to respond. You have that ability, that heart of a servant that's ready to do whatever you can to help someone in their need. If that's your gift, use it. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts, this is one of my favorites, he who exhorts or encourages in exhortation, in encouragement. Some of you have that gift of being able to encourage others. You have that ability to observe, perhaps even by facial expressions, when somebody's going through a difficult time. And you have that ability not only to see that, but to say those words or to do those things that would encourage someone who is down. If that's your gift, realize it is a gift and use it. He who gives or contributes to the needs of others with liberality, do so generously, he teaches. He who leads, some of you have the gift of leadership, lead with diligence. Step out. Be a leader. All Christians are leaders in the fact that we're all striving to live for Christ and striving to follow in the steps of Christ and are saying, as the Apostle Paul, follow me as I follow Christ. If that's your gift, use it in service to God. He who shows mercy rounds out this list with cheerfulness. Some of you have the gift of compassion. You are really able, better than others, to sympathize with those who are hurting. Sometimes it's because you've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And you're able to feel with others. If you have that gift, use it. All gifts must be used. And next, all gifts must be used in harmony with one another. You think about our physical bodies. As the brain controls the functions, if there's a disconnect somewhere and we don't have control over our bodies, you can see how that would be chaotic, wouldn't it? But our bodies must, the members of our bodies must work in conjunction. They must work in harmony in order to function effectively. And that message is loud and clear in Romans 12, verse 5. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head to the feet, I have no need of you. We all need each other. We all need those talents and abilities that we provide. But we must work together in order to grow and to be effective. Not work against each other, but work together. Ephesians 4:16. From Christ, the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Notice, every part doing its share. Every member of the body doing its function, but working together, causes growth of the body and edification occurs. I read about how a church, 1957, Sarasota, Florida, was wanting to break ground to build a new church building. And instead of using the shovels and doing it that way, they decided they were going to get an old horse plow to break the ground for the foundation of that building. Instead of using horses, they were going to have an object lesson. And they selected two of the men, two strong men, brawny men. Wayne, we love that term, don't we? Brawny men to pull this plow. Well, they harnessed those two men. And the men started pulling on that plow, but they couldn't budge it. And so other church leaders took hold of the rope and they began to pull on it, but they weren't able to budge it. Sunday school teachers were added, and they still couldn't move that plow. Finally, every member of that church that was present got a hold of the rope, and they all pulled together, and that's when the plow was finally able to move and break ground. That was an object lesson, wasn't it? Because every member had to participate in order to be effective. That's God's design within the body of Christ. Each member, every part doing its share, causing growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Then notice from this passage also, all gifts must be used to glorify God. We're not seeking glory for ourselves as we use the gifts that God has given us. We're using our gifts to glorify God. Present your bodies to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to Him. 1 Peter 4 verse 10 says, as each one has received a gift, minister it or use it. Serve one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. I want to point out three things from this passage in 1 Peter 4, and the lesson is yours. I call them three motivations for action. What's going to motivate us to serve? What's going to motivate us to present our bodies a living sacrifice? What's going to motivate us to faithfully cooperate in the different ministries of the body of Christ here? Here are three motivations for action. Number one, there has to be a desire to serve. A desire to serve. As each one has received a gift, use that gift that you've received to serve others. There's got to be that desire. I want to serve God by using the gifts He has given me to serve Him by serving others. Secondly, there's got to be a sense of responsibility. Not only a desire to serve, but a sense of if somebody's going to do it, I need to be a part of it. Instead of waiting on someone else, I need to do my part. I am a member of the body of Christ. Therefore, I must be functional as well. And that is highlighted in this idea of being good stewards of the manifold grace of God, of faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. It is required of stewards or of servants to be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2. So a desire to serve, a sense of responsibility, but then thirdly, a desire to glorify God. A desire to glorify God. It goes on to say in verse 11, if anyone serves, he should do it with the very strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. When we use the time, the talents, the treasures that God has given us in service to Him, He is glorified. May God get the glory in everything that we do. So two essentials we've noted for spiritual ministry and growth in the body of Christ are personal dedication and faithful cooperation. Won't you be involved in the ministry of the body of Christ? Let's conclude with the verse with which we began, verse 1 of Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And I like the translation that says, in view of God's mercy. As you consider the mercy of God, as you consider His magnificent grace, the forgiveness that's found, all the blessings that come through Christ, as you consider all of those things in view of God's mercy, what should our response be? To present our bodies as a living sacrifice to Him, serving Him within the body of Christ. I read the story one time of a little boy who never played baseball before, but he was on this baseball team, and you know, when the competition was stiff, he wouldn't see any time out on the playing field. But there was one particular game when his team was way out in front, and coach saw an opportunity to give this little boy some experience. So he called out to him and he said, David, let's just use David. David, would you like to go out and play in right field? And David said, he picked up his glove and he ran out and he stopped and said, sure, but where is it? Where is it? And you look at that and you think, isn't that marvelous? He's eager to participate. Just show me where. Just show me where. Folks, let's have that kind of attitude. Because of what God has done for me, I can't wait to serve. Just show me where. Just show me where. Are you a member of the body of Christ? You can be based upon your faith in Jesus. If you'll turn from your sins in repentance, if you'll confess Jesus before this assembly this morning, you can be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and be added to the church, the body of Christ. Then you'll be ready to be a part of, with that faithful cooperation and personal dedication, be ready to serve God with your fellow members of the body of Christ, bringing glory to Him. If you are a member, have you been functioning? Have you been serving? Have you been faithfully cooperating with your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? If there are changes that need to be made, if they're of a public nature, won't you let that be known as together we stand and sing?